The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Yes, it is. 12:06. News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. It's the start of a new week, the dawn of a new era. Welcome to this Monday afternoon edition of The Dory Monson Show. So, as you just heard in Heather's newscast, at 2:30 this afternoon, Jay Inslee and Superintendent of Public Instruction Chris Rakedahl have scheduled a press conference in Olympia. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It is just an unbelievably petty and punk move by the governor to schedule his press conferences at the exact same time as the White House Coronavirus Task Force briefings. And he was scheduling them at the same time, 2 o'clock, several days last week. But the White House briefing usually gets started about 15 minutes late. So I guess Jay Inslee, for peak pettiness today, is scheduling his press conference for 2:30. We will carry the Jay Inslee press conference live here on 97.3 Cairo FM because it's a very important one to every single parent and every single school kid in the state. Will they announce if schools, and right now schools are scheduled to reopen on Monday, April 27th? I've been telling you for weeks there is exactly a 0% chance of that happening. And I believe there is a 0% chance of the schools reopening this school year. It simply is not going to happen. But why they're stretching this out is beyond me. I feel so bad, especially for the high school seniors, for these kids who are missing out on such a joyous time, the final weeks of school. They're not hanging out with their friends because they're following the government edict to stay home. They're missing out on just that pure joy that senior year. And I don't know why our government is screwing with our school kids. And not just the seniors, but everybody. It's pathetic with all the money that we've spent in special levies for technology in a variety of school districts. It's pathetic how lacking the at-home learning has proven to be. We should have been far more ready, whether it was an earthquake or infrastructure damage, that sort of thing. It's shocking how unprepared we have been as a state to move to any kind of online learning. In my school district, out where I live, voters have spent hundreds of millions of dollars on technology levies so that we could get a tablet or a laptop in the hands of every kid. And they've done that for years and years and years now. And yet they're just slow to roll here. But we're going to find out 2:30 this afternoon. You'll hear it live here on the Dory Monson Show. If the school year will be canceled and all online between now and June. As I said, I have no idea why they're waiting so long to just give some clarity to the kids because there's been a 0% chance that they're going to reopen the schools. And that's because you don't want to put thousands in the biggest schools or hundreds of kids together if we don't have a vaccine yet. Because then you can have a second wave, a third wave of the coronavirus. And we've all been working and sacrificing. And, the greatest sacrifice economically has been the people who have lost their jobs, the business owners who are in danger of losing their companies. All of the rest of us who are following the edict to work at home. I heard an estimate today that 92% of Americans are under the stay-at-home edict. But our governor wants to once again, he is so jealous of Trump and so bitter that he couldn't get above 0% in the polls. And apparently, public information is a distant second to Jay Inslee to him exacting some kind of petty revenge. Because, as I've said, the White House Coronavirus Task Force briefings have been enormously informative, especially the last week, especially with Drs. Fauci and Birx. I want to hear all of those. But I also need to bring you the information about whether our schools are closed for the year. And Jay Inslee's going to make everybody choose. What do you want to hear? You're going to want to hear me, because I'll tell you what's happening with your kids. And there's no reason to schedule it at the exact same time other than some bitter petulance because he couldn't get above 0% in the polls. And I find that very, very sad. And we saw some more examples of that this weekend. I'll get to that in just a couple of minutes here. With that as mere prelude, 2:30 this afternoon, live here on the Dory Monson Show. You'll hear about the future of the school year. Do not miss it. And with that as mere prelude, let's get to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
And this is a Dory Monson Show consumer alert, because anytime there's an event like this, scamsters and grifters come out of the woodwork and try to exploit it to get some of your hard-earned money or the money that you used to have and you don't anymore. And I want to have mentioned this last week, but now I have some more concrete proof of what I'm talking about here. It is time to name names, and it is time to expose the most dishonest grifter scammer in the state of Washington. And as just a little setup for all of this, I will tell you that last week our attorney general warned that there were people who were going to try to get money out of you during the COVID-19 outbreak. And Bob Ferguson, in his alert, he said that the federal government doesn't demand a processing fee to get your $1,200 checks if you're unemployed. And he said that there are people who are trying to scam the public because of COVID-19. What our attorney general did not tell you is that the biggest grifter scamster, just immorally using COVID-19 to try to get your money, is him, Attorney General Bob Ferguson. As we told you last week, Bob Ferguson sent out a fundraiser email. Now, this email is clearly targeted at elderly people who are starting to lose their cognitive thinking process. Maybe you're in some stage of dementia. And it is clearly targeted at the stupid in our state. You know, really low IQ people. Because they're the only ones who could fall for a grifter scam like this. But what Bob Ferguson wrote to try to get people to send him money for his campaign, he said, "When Ohio delayed their primary election last week, it understandably triggered fear that President Trump would use the global coronavirus pandemic to delay or cancel the November general election. It may sound outrageous, but Trump has already exploited his emergency powers to raid hundreds of millions of dollars to build a wall along the southern border." Blah, 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 blah. So again, this is real, real tinfoil hat stuff that the attorney general is peddling. And how sending money to reelect the attorney general of Washington state would somehow, in this little fantasy that he's peddling, that it would somehow prevent Trump from not doing an election so he can stay on with unlimited powers, a constitutional violation. Again, the only people who would believe such nonsense are probably starting to slip away mentally or don't have much mentally to begin with. And so here you have the attorney general of our state praying with the most fake of fake news, preying on people who are suffering from some form of dementia or people who are just really super low IQ, because nobody else would believe this sort of thing. And it got all the way to the White House coronavirus task force briefing when the president was asked about this tinfoil hat fantasy being peddled by the likes of Bob Ferguson.
Two questions on continuity of government.
First, you have two. Why can't you have one?
Well, they're related.
Every time. I have three questions. I have two questions. Can you give me one instead? Because there are a couple of other people. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll go with my second one. The governor of Wisconsin is now talking about delaying the primary, at least not having in-person voting. So my question is, and I asked this a couple weeks ago, I want to see if you've made any progress on this. Looking ahead to the fall, are you taking steps to ensure that the general election will happen, even if this pandemic has reemerged or hasn't gone away?
The general election will happen on November 3rd.
Unequivocally, the general election is happening on November 3rd. And still, Bob Ferguson, even after that absolute declaration, Bob Ferguson has not rescinded his scam email that he sent out to the poor people of this state who apparently can't think for themselves. And I don't know if that's the only people who make up his constituency, but it's particularly cruel in the middle of COVID-19, to use this pandemic to fundraise with an absolute lie. But those are the ethics of Attorney General Bob Ferguson. That is the way he approaches life. And I don't know the man well enough. I've had him on the show a couple of times. I don't know the man well enough to know what's truly in his heart and soul. But he seems to me, he strikes me, is just one of those people who has been just so thoroughly corrupted by the world of politics that he's now willing to scam the elderly and the stupid to this extent. It's very sad. And that's who we have as our Attorney General right now. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Elsewhere, we are starting to get some positive numbers here in our state. The hospitals aren't packed to the rafters, as was predicted. I don't even know if we're going to need this tent hospital up in Shoreline Soccer Fields, the new one at the CenturyLink Field Event Center, because the numbers are not coming near the predictions. And last week, Jay Inslee, he was ripping the federal government. He said that the federal government just isn't doing anything, and that he was really upset with the job the feds are doing.
Well, look, we've had good communications with the vice president, with the CDC. Those have been good. But this is ludicrous that we do not have a national effort in this. To say we're a backup, I mean, the Surgeon General alluded to Pearl Harbor. Can you imagine if Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, I'll be right behind you, Connecticut. Good luck building those battleships. Look, we need a national mobilization of the manufacturing base of the United States.
What he's talking about in particular is building more ventilators. Well, it turns out the federal government, with the help of the feds, Washington State got a lot of ventilators. In fact, we got way more than we need. And so yesterday, Jay Inslee announced that he's going to send back a lot of the ventilators. So apparently, while he was complaining about the feds actually did way more than was needed for our state. And so Jay Inslee said, and rightfully so, and I congratulate him for it, he said, we're not going to hoard all of these ventilators. We'll send them back and you can reallocate them to New York or any place else that needs them.
Governor Inslee, we appreciate this, of Washington State has returned 400 ventilators, which can now be deployed elsewhere in our country. So the state of Washington's done very well. They won't be needing some of the ventilators that have been sent, about 400. That's a lot. And we appreciate that he's able to give them back. He feels confident that they are in good shape for the coming weeks until we can declare a final victory.
Okay, and that's good news. It's not good news for this University of Washington model that has been so highly touted, because the numbers are starting to come in way less, way lower than what this UW model, and not just in our state, but I'm talking for the country as well. And some of the most dire predictions from the UW model may not even come true. Now, again, I'm not saying that we were all lied to, and that, I mean, I believe mitigation is an important part of all of this. But we got to get the economy rolling again. And what I would love to see is the president, along with the coronavirus task force that he has, I think he needs a parallel economic task force. And he needs to assemble, just as he has with Dr. Fauci and Birx, who are brilliant, he needs to assemble the most brilliant economic minds on how to get our economy back rolling as soon as possible. Because from what I'm hearing from my listeners, business owners, out-of-work employees, what I'm hearing is that they fear the economy much more than they fear the coronavirus. And now that the numbers are coming in, and again, maybe the numbers are coming in better because we're all doing such a great job of stay at home. I truly do believe that. I think that we are in the midst of a necessary component of all of this. But we've got to get the economy rolling. And if that means we ride out April, what are we today, the 6th? We ride out April, and we stay at home, and we inflict whatever damage is going to be inflicted by another 3 weeks on the shelf for our economy. After that, there are going to have to be some really tough decisions about, you know, let's get masks on people, if that helps. I actually ordered a bunch of masks this morning. I wasn't going to be a mask guy. But a friend of mine told me about a place where we could get these. They're not the medical quality, but a friend told me that he knew of a place where I could get a bunch of masks for my family, just if we go to the grocery store. And I'm just thinking, why not? Why in the world not? I don't care. I mean, anything that hides my hideous mug for a few minutes out in public, you kidding me? Double bonus for me. And so we'll got to get the economy going. We got to get back to work. Stay at home, but it's time to fire this economy back up. I'm thrilled the numbers are trending well. They're still horrible in New York, but I'm glad they're trending well in our state. But it's time now, after another few weeks of this, that we got to get people back to work and companies back up and running. I tell you what, I got so much more to talk about, including Inslee on Meet the Press and lots of stuff to get to. So let me take a quick time out, and we're just going to extend the big lead right after we check the news for you as we get rolling here on the Dory Monson Show. We got so much stuff to tell you about. And the Dow is up 1,300 points. Somebody on the text line said, it's funny, when the Dow's down 1,300, it's the top story in every national newscast. When it's up 1,300, they don't even mention it. I know. You can't give any good news, for crying out loud. So the market's going to close in about 25 minutes. We'll keep you posted on that. We are extending our big lead. Let's continue with the breaking news that we are just getting.
The big lead, breaking news.
It is breaking news, but you know what? It's also a Dory Monson Show, I Told You So, also.
The big lead, I Told You So.
So the first day of the stay-at-home order, I was asking, why is Sound Transit still doing construction? Why are all the good blue-collar workers who work in construction out of work now by government edict, but the government itself is continuing with these projects that may or may not open in 10 or 15 years? And the answer is because the government chooses the winners and losers in this COVID-19 sacrifice. And the labor unions that get our local politicians elected, they are allowed to go to work. And apparently, according to what the governor's been telling us, they are allowed to risk public health because they don't want to get off the gravy train that is Sound Transit. And it's always been outrageous to me that the government's telling private sector contractors, drywall hangers, I mean, roof, all these people that they can't go to work. And Sound Transit is still building a line up to Linwood that may happen in a decade. And we are just getting this. Our transportation specialist, Chris Sullivan, just shared this with me, a news release from Sound Transit. Due to COVID-19 risks, Sound Transit is directing contractors to suspend almost all construction on its transit expansion projects across the region starting today. So they made sure they got a few weeks more paycheck than any of their contemporaries in the private sector. But now finally, I take great pride in this because almost nobody else was talking about this double standard between the private sector and the government workers. And so now finally Sound Transit is suspending its projects. Now, what we need to find out is, are they treating their workers the way private sector workers are being treated? Are we going to have to keep paying them for doing nothing? Or are they going to have to, like the private sector people, go on unemployment, hope that they can get their paychecks from the federal bailout? But it was outrageous that Sound Transit was having a different set of rules. And that's one reason why it's getting more and more difficult for people to trust anything that's coming from our government. It's got to be the same playing field for everybody, whether you work in the private sector or work for the government. And so finally today, I'm proud of this, Sound Transit is suspending all of its construction for now. Okay, more stuff in our lengthened Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
I got a bunch of texts in the last half hour. Dari, why are you making this so political? Because I'm not going to just be here with pom-poms and tell you that everything that Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson are doing, and Sound Transit for that matter, is wonderful. And if the media doesn't stay in the role of watchdog, we could see some real fundamental rights disappear. And I will add, nobody is making this COVID-19 response more political than Jay Inslee, who, as I said, schedules his press conference at the same time as the president's. He can't stop. And this is where I say, I know he's just super bitter that he couldn't get above 0% in the polls and he wanted to be president. Hey, by the way, another text message, if I can digress for a moment. Who's cutting Jay Inslee's hair? My hair is a mess. I haven't gotten a haircut for 2.5 months. I got an unruly mop sitting on top of my head. And Jay Inslee, he is just always nice and neat and trim. And a bunch of people are asking me, who's cutting the governor's hair when barbers are all out of work? And I don't know the answer. I'd love to find out. But he is sure neat and trim. Unless it's his wife, Trudy. Is he violating the no contact order or the, not no contact, the social distancing order? No contacts for somebody who's done something a little more nefarious.
Although, what's more nefarious than stealing billions of dollars from people? But I wish my bank account could get a no-contact order against Inslee. But who's cutting Jay Inslee's hair? Because he's looking high and tight. And he was on NBC's Meet the Press. And again, when I say that the media has to be a watchdog, Chuck Todd, the host of Meet the Press, is nothing more than a completely partisan hack. Because he knows that Jay Inslee was lying on national TV yesterday. Jay Inslee knew that Inslee was lying. But he's using that, well, if a lie repeated often enough, sometimes becomes ingrained as truth.
Yes, the evidence that Dr. Birx has pointed to repeatedly does demonstrate we have had some success flattening the curve. That has taken place because we acted relatively early. We had a staged way of moving forward. We're in one of the most aggressive stay-at-home, stay-healthy initiatives in the United States. And I think this has a reason to believe it's been demonstrably successful. And I'm glad we got on it relatively early while the president was saying that this was not a problem. I mean, it was a hoax. We were acting to save the lives of...
Okay. Absolute lie. And if Chuck Todd was any kind of a serious journalist, I guarantee you, he would not let a Republican get away with a lie like that. Donald Trump never said this was a hoax. Now, I know a lot of people who are listening right now believe that he did because it got repeated. It started with the Washington Post, got repeated by the New York Times. NBC News still allows that lie. So let me prove to you that he never said it, because here's where it all started. On March 26th, a Washington Post reporter who started all of this by saying that the president called coronavirus a hoax. This Washington Post reporter, her name is Amber Phillips. And she deleted her tweet and she followed up with an apology because it was so out of context. And what she wrote in her follow-up was, "My apologies for quoting the president out of context. As the Washington Post's fact checker makes clear, he called Democrats politicizing coronavirus a hoax. I have deleted the incorrect tweet." And that's the Washington Post. They are not predisposed to cutting President Trump a break. But it was such an obvious, blatant lie that got picked up and repeated by everybody else in the media. And then it gets repeated by all these people who consume news and believe that the networks are not biased. And again, the major national newspapers, Washington Post, New York Times, the network TV, they are so blinded with their bias. And then Chuck Todd sits there yesterday when Jay Inslee repeats a lie that's been completely debunked by the Washington Post fact checker, and the original tweet deleted, and the reporter who posted it apologized for saying something that was so out of context. And Chuck Todd doesn't jump in. And I guarantee if that was a Republican, Chuck Todd would have. But this is this conspiracy between NBC News and, you know, politicians like Jay Inslee to just present fake news. And it's not helping. So when people say, why are you politicizing this? Because nobody else is calling out all the lies that are out there right now. Because nobody else is pointing out just how fake the news is at the national level. And to absolutely ignore that would be the greatest disservice I could ever do. Okay, let me take a quick time out. We got lots more to do here as we keep straightening out the rest of the media world here with the Dory Monson Show. The stock market adding a few hundred points just in the last few minutes. It was up 1,200 when I checked about 20 minutes ago. Dow right now is up almost 1,600 points today, 22,600. So good day for Wall Street. Still bad day for America's economy, though. And that's where we got to find the balance between our health, physically and the health of our economy. And then you got the Democrats have already delayed their convention. It was supposed to be in July in Milwaukee. They now have moved it to August. And the big question is, are we going to see any large gatherings anytime soon? I played for you last week. Bill Gates said, until there's a vaccine, how can we justify getting 50, 60,000 people together at concerts or sporting events? And Major League Baseball is already making contingency plans for an 81-game season, cutting the 162 games in half. The NFL and college football. Trump talked to all the sports league commissioners over the weekend, and he said he's optimistic that they're going to be able to get the leagues up and running. But there is a possibility that, and the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, there are three NFL teams in his state. Because one of them just moved to Vegas. If you were going to fact check me and say, what about the Raiders, dude? Or, nope, they're the Las Vegas Raiders. But Gavin Newsom said he does not think NFL is going to resume in his state anytime soon. And one thing that could happen is the NFL and college football could be played in empty stadiums just to get the television contracts rolling, just so they can get the broadcast revenue. Last night, there was WrestleMania. Gronk, Rob Gronkowski, I didn't see any clips of this. I just read about it. But the former Patriots tight end won WrestleMania, but there were no fans there. It's hard to imagine wrestling without fans because they are part of the show. It's very, very strange. Well, as I said, Democrats have moved their convention. Bernie Sanders has vaporized. Nobody knows where Bernie is. Joe Biden is still trying to do stuff out of his basement, but he's sadly just talking gibberish still. I'll play you a cut of that in the Fastest 15. Joe Rogan, who has a very popular podcast and is a UFC commentator, Joe Rogan, he said that, and he's kind of a left-of-center guy, but he said some pretty damning indictment of Joe Biden on his podcast.
They've essentially made us all morons.
Yeah.
With this Joe Biden thing. They really have.
Can
they
you
made
imagine?
Us all morons.
Who do we need? I mean,
I can't vote for that guy.
I can't vote for him.
I can't vote for him.
I can't vote for Trump.
I'd rather vote for Trump than him. I don't think he could handle anything. I mean, you're relying entirely on his cabinet. Like, if you want to talk about an individual leader that can communicate, he can't do that. And we don't even know what the f*** he's going to be like after a year in office. The pressure of being the president of the United States
right.
is something that no one has ever prepared for.
Right.
The only one who seems to be fine with it is Trump, oddly enough. I mean, he doesn't seem to be aging at all or in any sort of decline. You know, Obama, like, almost immediately started looking older.
Yeah.
George W. almost immediately started looking
older.
Well,
I think that this is not a change in Trump.
Not a rousing endorsement of Joe Biden. All right, Fast 15's coming up next.